All right, well, good morning. It is so good to have you with us this morning as we celebrate our Savior, our risen King. Welcome to Trinity. We're so glad you're here this morning. We have come to worship the God who brings joy, who brings peace, who brings life. And so let's go ahead and stand together and let's celebrate as we worship the Lord this morning. And put your hands together with us. Come on, let's sing it out together.
All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her. And heaven and nature sing. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, wild fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love.
Come on, let's sing this together. He rules the world. He is our King.
He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. All of heaven and all creation sings the wonders of His love. His love, His love, the wonders of His love. His love, His love, wonders of His love.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Please take a seat. I have a couple of announcements real quick. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Joshua, and I'm very glad to see all the faces here. Glad to see y'all at home. Hope everything's working. We had some technical difficulties this morning. So announcements. We've got a few things as far as Christmas goes. Number one, Christmas, the Sunday after Christmas, and the Sunday after New Year's, we're only going to have one service each of those Sundays. They will be right here like normal for us. The only difference is going to be for the back and the kids area and all that. There won't be any child care, any child care or any youth or young kids stuff back there. So they'll be in here with us. Number two, as far as Sundays go, Christmas Eve service. We will have two Christmas Eve services, both later. Please come, whether it's the earlier one at 4 or the later one at 5:30. It's kind of our big one, so make sure you're here with your friends, family. Try to get here a little early, though, because it does get pretty packed. Last but not least, the youth have a great thing back there. Young kids, we got a great thing back there. But we don't have a whole lot for college. Don't have a lot for young adults. Sad truth is it's been kind of the case for a little while. So we want to try to revamp that. Pretty much college, young adult, maybe early 20s, late 20s. Feel free to come by. We're going to have fun, games, food, good company. Going to be hosted by my mom and my dad. I don't know where they are, but there he is. Be hosted by them this evening. But please really come, and if you know anybody else that would fit that demographic, need a little, spot to fit in, please send them our way. All the info's up there, and it should be on the website or the app as well. But please don't miss out. I'm going to go ahead and ask the ushers to come forward. We'll do the offering this morning, and if you'll bow your heads with me to pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you for our wonderful congregation. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you and love you and then spread that love through our many gifts that you've given us. Thank you for this time of year. Thank you for your son. And overall, just continue to bless us, give us the passion, and give us the joy that you intended us to have. Amen.
Go ahead and stand together and continue worshiping this morning.
Everything changed on a side.
Father, we are gathered here together. We are a people of hope. God, we are a people that rest in an everlasting hope, a hope that cannot be taken away no matter what our circumstances bring. A joy that we cling to even on the darkest nights. Father, we fix our eyes on you this morning. God, the light in the darkness. You are our healer, you are our savior, you are our hope. You are a keeper of promises. And God, you are with us today. Emmanuel, you're here.
Here and now, light in the darkness. Here and now, hope for the hopeless. Emmanuel. Here and now, you kept your promise. Here and now, you proved you for us. The angels sing the highest of praises, the heavens ring the song of salvation. Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Miracles of miracles, the King has come to dwell with us, the Son of God, the great I am. The King has come to dwell with us. Yes, the King has come to dwell with us. Hope is alive, hope is alive, hope is alive forever. Jesus is here, my hope is alive forever. Hope is alive, hope is alive, hope is alive forever. Jesus is here, Jesus is here, hope is alive forever. Miracles of miracles, the King has come to dwell with us. The Son of God, he's the great I am. Oh, Jesus has come to dwell with us. Miracles of miracles, the King has come to dwell with us. The Son of God, the great I am. Oh, Jesus has come to dwell with us. The King has come to dwell with us. So Jesus has come to dwell with us. Miracles of miracles, the King has come to dwell with us. Son of God, the great I am. The King has come to dwell with us. Yes, the King has come to to dwell with us.
Continue worshiping the King of Kings, the King who left his throne to be our Savior, the King who left his throne and died our death. But he is alive and well today, filling every heart with hope. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in this morning, would you turn your eyes to him this morning? Let's find our joy, our peace in his presence.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. You are my portion. You are my hiding place. Let me hear you say, oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, yes, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
This moment, he is here. You find your place in him this morning. Just begin to reach out to him. Just experience his joy and his love this morning. Just begin to cry out. Bring all your worries, bring all your doubts, bring all your fears, bring your struggles, bring your shortcomings, your sins. We just lay it down at his feet this morning. He is the only way. He's the only way to life. He's the only way to joy. He's the only way to peace this morning. Let us be found in him this morning. It's a new day. It's a new horizon. Sing it with us.
It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they could all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you, yeah. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they could all come to, because they can't stay long when I believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life I believe. It's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. Oh, all my fears and doubts, they could all come to, because they can't stay low when I'm here with you. Oh, and I'm here with you.
Declare that one more time. I believe.
I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
God, that is our declaration this morning. God, we believe. God, we believe. God, help our unbelief. Give us faith where we lack it. God, help us to trust in you fully. May your glory, may your presence, may your goodness eclipse our circumstances. God, you are greater. God, you are greater than our biggest fear. God, you are greater than our circumstances. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Oh, we love you. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Last week, I was driving somewhere on one of the very curved roads of Acadiana, and I saw a sign that said, "May you have a Merry Christmas filled with joy." As I drove past it, it rang hollow just a little. It was as if inside of myself, I said, "Bah." Sent me on a fact-finding mission. What is joy? What is joy? I'm getting a bad reverb off of this one right here. They're all listening to it. They're like, what's that noise? We're working on it. Here. Sent me on a fact-finding mission, so I called someone much wiser than myself, my wife. I said, babe, what's the deal with joy? And she said a couple things, and then she said this. I don't know, but all the comments on my social media feed are that people seem to be bracing themselves for Christmas 21. Oh, good job. The great unsung heroes are in the back there every Sunday. Thank you. Thank you. You know, 2020 was rough. And somehow we came across into the threshold of 21, and we said, it's got to get better. We hoped, and maybe it wasn't as quite as good as we had hoped for. Got off the phone with my wife, and I rolled into the office. A church, a staff. We should be filled with joy, shouldn't we? I caught a coworker. I could tell they were having a rough day. I thought, what the heck? What's joy? They looked up at me, and they said this. Yes, yes, we are supposed to have joy, aren't we? The Bible does say, rejoice always. And we just looked at each other. Someone else told me that their word for the year was joy. I asked, did you find it? They said no. No, I was distracted. It was probably there, but I didn't see it. Well, that took me to lunch. Frankly, I was a little discouraged because I knew I had to get up and give a sermon on joy. No one was helping me. So lunchtime, we're having amazing things for lunch, and I said, the word joy, what comes to mind? They said, how about mellow joy? I said, you better run to T. Coons and get me a prop. I said, that's good. What else? They said, well, if you love coconut, there's almond joy. I don't like coconut. I said, come on, guys. We got to talk about this. What's up? Then Miss Debbie said, a Super Bowl is joy. And I said, have you watched the Saints play this year? Golly, it's better to be a Colts fan. Bah, humbug. Joy seems to be elusive. I know what you're thinking. He was still looking for props when he put on his coat this morning. Joy. Joy. Right now in the back, our kids could be singing, I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. We know that the Bible says rejoice always. And yet there are times when it just doesn't seem to be there, or it doesn't seem to be working. Perhaps we have misplaced joy. Perhaps we have misdefined, or maybe we just misunderstand joy. How we long, though, to touch joy. This morning, I want to look together at how we can find joy. Our series is Who is Jesus? And we are focusing on our identity in Christ and asking two questions. Who's Jesus? And what does that mean for me now, December 12th, Christmas 21, as we enter into 2022? We're in the beginning of the Gospel of John, and we're asking the question, Where does joy come from? What is joy and how can I obtain it? We've been giving our applications up front. 2 weeks ago, we saw that hope comes from prayer. We saw that peace flows from a pursuit of Jesus. Things like silence, solitude, Sabbath, simplicity, and His Word bring peace because He is sovereign. And now, perhaps a more complex, we turn to joy. We have to take a deep theological dive here, and really this first point we will look at, where does joy come from? It will be a little theologically thick, but hang with me. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 1, verses 4 through 13. You can pull it up on your smartphone. Be picking up in verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were not born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Where does joy come from? We're going to see three different aspects in this passage. And the first is joy flows from the light, specifically Jesus. If we look at verses 4 and 5, in verse 4, it opens up with the word life. For all of you biology students out there, the word in the Greek is zoe. It's where we get the term zoology. And life flows from the light. If you're in the sciences, the Greek word here is phos. It's where we get the term photon. It is a packet, a particle of energy which emits light. And life and light, they come together. And from them flows joy. You see, in this context of this passage, it was the joy first of creation. And you're scratching your head and you're thinking back to Genesis 1 and where was joy? You actually have to see other places. In Proverbs 8, it says that wisdom rejoiced as God created. And in Job, it says that the morning stars, they sang at their birth. There was singing. There was joy at creation. Light and life, which always come together, were there and present in a tangible sense. And the light was Jesus. Yet there was joy in singing again, and it would come later. In the Gospel of Luke 2:10, it says that the angels sang. And what did they declare? Good tidings and great joy. Joy. Joy again. Joy at creation. Joy at Jesus' coming. And there will come a day when the mountains and the fields will clap their hands when He comes again. This passage, as we come into it and we read 3 and 4, verse 5, it says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We're reminded of the passages in Isaiah that we read every year. Isaiah 9, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. But here, verse 3, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as a people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice with dividing the plunder. Why are they rejoicing? Verse 6, for to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Isaiah continues in chapter 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and will swell with joy. Joy. Where does it come from? It comes from the light. And the light has a name. In Hebrew, there are 15 words for joy. The one in Isaiah that is repeated over and over is Simcha, not to be confused with Simba, though Simba maybe brings joy to some of you. Simcha is mentioned 93 times, and this word for joy, it means joy, gladness, mirth, people, children, wine, harvest, victory, a right answer. In the Jewish culture, joy could even be a wedding, a bar mitzvah, an engagement. And I liked what one commentator wrote. This Simcha is also a German beer. Not sure. You see, the light comes from God. And in verse 5, the translation I have says that it will not, the darkness will not comprehend it. This is actually an unfortunate translation. It's weak. A better translation, which you may have in your notes, is the idea that the darkness will not overcome the light. The word in the Greek is that the darkness will not seize or attack or overpower or hold without losing grip. You see, light ultimately overcomes the darkness. He created. He came. He is coming. It's amazing in Revelations it declares that both death and Hades, Jesus holds the key. You see, our joy is secure, and beyond what is going on in the cosmos, what we see individually is that you and I, if we have a relationship with Jesus, Romans 6 declares that we have become slaves of righteousness. We have been moved from unrighteousness to righteousness, from dark to light. Romans 8 says that we are set free, and at the end of the chapter, it declares that you and I are more than conquerors. We should note that at the end of chapter 8, what is in light is actually death. Even in death, we are more than conquerors because of Christ. Where does joy come from? It comes from the light. Joy also flows from the purpose of God. We see in verses 6 to 8, John the Baptist. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all may believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. John the Baptist was a man who lived with purpose. There is joy in pointing others to Jesus. And you don't have to be a New Testament prophet to do that. You can work in refrigeration. You can sell soft drinks. You can be in ministry. You can be in the academic world. You can work for an oil company. You can be retired. You can be a nurse or in another aspect of the medical profession. There is no bounds when it comes to you and I being able to point people to Jesus. Joy flows from living for Jesus. On our best days, we deploy our gifts. We see generosity come out of ourselves. We see ourselves spend ourselves for our Savior instead of self. And it's in those moments you and I, we catch glimpses of Jesus in us. What joy. What joy. There is also joy in the waiting. If you think about John the Baptist, his life near the end, his circumstances weren't real hot. They were a dungeon cell. And he sends his followers to Jesus and as if to say, was my purpose correct? Did I hitch my wagon to the right thing? The end is coming. Jesus tells him, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. The leper is cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. In a word, joy. Joy. But there is also joy in the bad. This morning, some of you here today, and I commend you for being here, there is not joy. Yet you have Jesus. Bad things have happened or are happening. Again, John the Baptist's life. His life is capriciously snuffed out at a birthday party on the whim of a request of a young girl. Is there a greater picture of darkness and cruelty? And yet the moment his physical life ended, John would have heard, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." You see, joy is something that transcends this life. It rolls into the next. Joy not only flows from Jesus, it not only flows from a life lived for Jesus, but joy flows from the people of God. If we look at verses 9 to 13, and we note and we remember that joy is actually a fruit of the Spirit of the believer. In verse 9, we see that the light was for all. Yet, the one who made the world in verse 10, the world itself did not get Jesus. Even his own people reject him in verse 11. But then we come to verse 12. Verse 12 declares, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Children. I was thinking about this, the title. You know, if you think about Moses and Abraham in the Old Testament, they were called friends of God. But a child ranks above a friend, doesn't it? We see David in the Psalms. He speaks of God's loving kindness, his hesed, his loyal love that never leaves, but not necessarily sonship. It wasn't clear in David's mind. How about Israel? They were called God's people. They were called children of God, but not in the sense that you and I know ourselves as sons and daughters of the King. In the Old Testament, hope flowed from a belief in Yahweh, in God. It was there. Peace came from the create God's sovereignty and reigning over the world. It was there. But what about joy? It was there dimly until Jesus comes and we understand fully how great we are loved by the Father. We are children. One of the neat things that Catherine does with our kids, I catch her every once in a while. One of the kids will be having a rough day. You know, life's pretty hard at the Kramers. And let's say it's the 7-year-old. She'll look at Ezra and she'll say, "Ezra, I wouldn't trade you for any other 7-year-old boy. Matter of fact, if they lined a whole bunch of 7-year-old boys up, I would run and I would grab you. And if someone tried to stop me, I would fight them." Catherine's a little fighter. And you should see Ezra's face, like the world, like he is loved. You and I, sons and daughters of the King, if we know Jesus. That is the kind of love that John 1:12 brings clarity to. When the angels said great joy, it was because it came full into focus. Joy was a person. His name was Jesus. Yet we continue in 13. It says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." You know, we think of being a son or a daughter, a child, that's a very personal thing. But often we don't think about the fact that you and I have been placed in a family. I was reminded about this last week. I have discovered Marco Polo. I know I'm about 5 years behind, maybe 10. Don't care. Some of you don't know what Marco Polo is. That makes me feel good. And it's an app where you can video chat. And I have a sister that's in Rochester, New York, 3 years apart. And she's like, Michael, you gotta get a Marco Polo so we can connect. You know, we won't feel pressure. We can just kind of drop things on each other. I said, okay. So first week, we're exchanging, and she mentions that her youngest, my youngest nephew, whose name's Leo, had a birthday. Well, that was great. No pressure. Marco Polo just became an instrument of stress. I called my wife. I was like, did we remember Leo's birthday? We did not. Great shame ensued. I had to call my sister. I said, Julie, we missed Leo's birthday. He's six. I said, what's he into? We'll make it up to him. She was gracious. She's kind of a minimalist, and she was like, oh, he got a birthday card. He'll be fine. I was like, whatever, because my name to them is Uncle, you ready for it? Awesome. Birthday card is not awesome. Catherine's like the cool aunt, but I want to be Uncle Awesome. So I threatened my sister. I said, look, Leo likes cheese balls. You know those things that you start eating too many and then you feel gross, but you can't stop eating them. Processed, big tub. He always gets those for me. I said, if you don't tell me what he's into, I'll send six tubs. She gave me something. But catch this. Not everybody has a crazy uncle. But the neat thing is that Leo is actually adopted. And 2 years ago, they brought him out of an orphanage of Central Europe. And when my sister says birthdays aren't important, Uncle Awesome says, oh, but they are. And not that joy comes from cheese balls and Pokemon cards. Let's be clear. But when they show up, it is the family that brings joy. Let us not sell short, Romans 1, 12 and 13. Yes, you and I are a child of God, but that's individualistic in its thinking. This is a family. And joy flows from the family of God. So we've seen the where. Where does joy come from? But what is joy anyway? I Googled it. The English, again, was not very helpful. Feelings of great pleasure or happiness. Let's get one thing clear this morning. Joy is not happiness. If it is, it reduces joy to a cup of coffee, a candy bar, and a Super Bowl. I refuse to let that be my joy. You see, those are good, but they are pseudo-joy. And they bring joy for but a moment. You see, that is happiness based on circumstance. Joy is based on the light. I then thought, what is joy? And I looked at the opposite of joy, or as close as I could come by. Trials, tribulation, sorrow, mourning, despair, misery, darkness. There are some this morning that this is where you are. And that's okay. Just because you and I may not feel joy does not mean joy is not there. Often we respond to brokenness and pain in different ways. One way is we just go crazy pursuing happiness. We find our chocolate stash. We eat, we shop, anything that will hit our receptors to make us feel happy, to touch joy. then sometimes the pain is so great that we isolate. It's a natural response, but it is dangerous. We tell ourselves that there is too much effort to go be with the family. They wouldn't understand the pain. That is a lie. And you and I are as loved whether we feel joy or not. It's amazing. I have the opportunity many times to walk with people through their grief, darkness, dark nights of the soul. And they will tell me, I don't want to go to church. I want to, but I can't. All those people are joyful. Do you see them hugging out in the lobby? They're smiling. I can't even smile. To them I say, yeah, that's true. But you can always slip in and just be and slip back out. You see, joy is not happiness. You and I cannot manufacture joy. So about 2 years ago, I was reminded this week, my Facebook feed is getting blown up by hunting friends that are hunting up north and killing large deer in the cornfields. I'm a little jealous. And 2 years ago, I was in a season where I wasn't feeling much joy. It had been a prolonged season. And I told Catherine, I said, I just need to get alone. Can I go out to the deer stand and sit in the blind? She said she was accommodating, and I went. And I was there. It was an October morning in the Midwest. It was crisp. The leaves were moving, and it was quiet. I'm just sitting there. Don't really want to kill a deer that day. I look up, and 40 yards out, there's an 8-point buck. I had shot deer with a rifle, but not with a bow. I looked at it, and I thought, oh, it's probably too far. It'll run off, and it didn't take off. So I thought, well, I should probably shoot at it because that's what you do when you go hunting. And I wanted the deer bacon. So I lined up, first shot, right through his heart. And I remember thinking, boy, I should hop out of the stand and just be going crazy right now. Like, you got to understand, for a deer hunter, this is a dream come true. Like, I should have been in the middle of the woods by myself, jumping up and down like, yes! Instead, I thought, shoot, I'm going to have to dress this deer. And I thought, what in the world is the matter with me? You see, even dreams realized will not manufacture joy. Joy is greater than happiness, pleasure, even aesthetic pleasure. These can be manufactured. There are times when joy instead is a longing. It's an anticipation of something so high and so good and so pure. It's like a stabbing pain because we know we can only touch it for a moment. I remember as a kid being at a Promise Keeper event. I don't remember which stadium we were in. I was a young teenager, and I heard 60,000 men singing Amazing Grace at the top of their voice. And I remember thinking, I hope it doesn't stop. I have never touched that again. There were seasons when I was younger and I would climb in Colorado. We'd climb 14,000 foot mountains and you'd be on top of the world and it would be a beautiful day and you would think, ah, this is it. And then there was the climb down to not be returned to. Where else, even in moments of goodbyes, there can be the feeling at the moment of loss of an intense, someday I will be with them again and things will be right and it will be for all eternity. You see, we can't manufacture joy, but we can be surprised by joy. surprised by joy. C.S. Lewis, in his wonderful book, speaks of this. We can find joy in bad jobs. We can find joy at the hospice bed. We can find joy conversing with a friend. We can even find joy on a Sunday morning when we come in depleted and we are surprised by a conversation with a good friend. I have two Bibles that are identical. One is older and one is younger. It's been in the last couple weeks that it dawned on me that in the last 17 years, Catherine and I very much have been in an aspect of survival mode, just the journey that the Lord had us on. This was my Bible for the first 8.5 years, and in its back pages, I have written probably hundreds of times where I saw God provide, and I saw His goodness, even in great struggle. I've had this Bible for the last 8 years, and I have very little written in the pages. It dawned on me in a conversation with a friend, joy was here, was it not here as well? You see, you and I can be robbed of joy. We cannot manufacture it, but we can rob ourselves of it. I'll give you three ways. First, when we hang joy on our circumstances, we lose. When our kingdoms don't materialize in front of our own eyes, we tend to act out and we struggle with contentment in the mercy of His plan that God does not make mistakes where He takes us. James 1, 2 through 4, and I don't like the verse either, but it says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that your testing of your faith produces endurance." And the verse goes on. If joy was not there, then that verse should be cut out of the Bible. We do not hang our joy on circumstances. We hang it on a person. We hang it on the light. Another way that you and I can be robbed by joy is pride. You will never meet a proud, joyful person. It can't happen. The Bible says that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The words joy and grace in the Greek are the same. Think of the characters of Christmas: Mary, Zechariah, Simeon, Anna. What were their common denominators? They were extremely humble and they had great joy. Third, how can we be robbed of joy? We can just miss God's goodness. A wrong perspective. Maybe anger over something that didn't go right. Or perhaps just a simple lack of gratitude. I was reminded about this last week. I drove 30 minutes east. Can't remember where I went. There was a Waffle House there. I was meeting Todd Pullen. And I got in my car that morning, still half awake. I hadn't had my wonderful Waffle House coffee yet. The dregs. And I got in the car, and I thought, I think I can listen to something because I wasn't driving my Ford Taurus. I recently sold the Beast, as I affectionately called her. She had gone 200,000 miles, and she was akin to a wind tunnel. But she lasted 14 years. And you got to understand, this car and I have a love-hate relationship because at times it was the best thing on earth, and at times I hated the car, and God and I would talk about how the stupid car would not do. It was not being dependable. Pretty big thing for a Ford Taurus to go over 200,000 miles. I would almost say an act of God. Mine did. And as I climbed in, not into the Taurus, but into our other vehicle, I'm thinking about cars and lack of contentment in the past over this car. And then I thought, but I have a new car. I have my dream car, an F-150. And then I thought, but my wife has taken that car. Back into contentment, and I'm driving along. I show up at Waffle House, have a great time with Todd. On the way home, I thought, you know, is joy really found in a vehicle? Or is it sitting across from someone like Todd? And you, if you have the Lord, and seeing that transaction take place, that's joy. Don't let your discontentment rob you of the joy that is had. I've been reflecting on 2021. Jesus has not gone anywhere. His purposes are still the same. But do you know what may have changed? There is a chance that somewhere in the hither and yon, you and I have said, God's people are just not that important. There's other things to be had. My friends, don't make that mistake in 2022. Don't miss joy. How do we grow in joy? Here's where the rubber meets the road. We can't manufacture it. Sometimes our receptors won't receive it. We must, and this is what we can do, we must position ourselves to receive joy. It is an issue of proximity. Most will seek pleasure. It will not bring joy. So what do we do? First, we must ask the question, am I being robbed of joy? Could there be joy that would fill this season that was there in the last, and I'm just missing it? Pursue contentment. It is a battle. 1 Timothy 6:6 says, but contentment with godliness is great gain. Every season we have to re-up with contentment. Walk humbly. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to love justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. How is your walk? Is it one of humility? Second, last, seek goodness. Seek goodness. When it dawned on me this last week that this 8.5 years was tough, but full of God's goodness. And this 8.5 years, not much there. You know what I'm going to do over the next couple weeks with my wife's help, who has a memory like an elephant? I'm going to go back and find the joy. He was there, and I missed it. Second, after watching and asking the question, am I being robbed of joy? Learn to distinguish between joy and happiness. Happiness is not bad, but joy is so much better. In your bulletins, there's two sides. One is principles that can help with joy. If one of them fits this season, wear it. On the back, it's almost laughable. The contrast of what the joy of the world would call you to do. I'll start with just number one. Stop waiting to be happy. No, it's too good. Add happiness to your life right now. Make self-care a priority. It's all about you and me. Get in a joyful state of mind. Stop, it goes on. Not bad, but not joy. Last, we must position ourselves for joy. You see, joy is here. This morning I have a little analogy, a picture for us. Many of you received a candle coming in. If you didn't, you can grab one on the way out. Our gift to you, a used candle. We're good stewards here at Trinity. So this is Jesus. I wanted it to be a flamethrower, but they said it would melt all the candles. Let's see if I can get this here. Jody, can you help me? Got it, thank you. Oh.
You came up too quick.
I did, didn't I? Yeah. I needed help. Okay. You and I are the candle if we know Jesus, and this isn't an issue of salvation. We don't lose our salvation. Jesus never turns children in. The light is the joy that he brings. He is the light, and in us it is reflected and it can burn. But often what we do, knowing or unknowing, is we go off by ourselves into the dark, into the world, still Jesus's, and the darkness blows out the joy. What can we do? What can we do? What we do is we go hang out with the body that has joy. And I want to be, let's be real. There are seasons where the fire will not burn, but you can come anyway. And you will find light. Over time, and by his grace, it will rekindle. We position ourselves for joy. So where does joy come from? It comes from the light. And what is joy? It is not happiness. That is happiness. This is joy. How? Pursue purpose over pleasure. 2021, I'll give it to you, it has been a rough year. Most will continue to pursue this. Yet joy flows from the light of God. The candle we gave you today, take it with you. Leave it in the cup holder of your car. Throw it on the top of your microwave with all the other clutter that you keep in your kitchen. Wherever the place is, put it somewhere visual. And when you see it, ask yourself, where am I going for joy? Let's pray. Father, this morning there is a broad spectrum of your children here. I don't know where they are all at, but you do. Lord, you know the ones that feel out in the cold. They are still yours. Lord, help them tuck in well. Lord, in a world that is dark, joy has come. May we not confuse joy with happiness. And Father, when all else fails, help us remember whose we are, that we are the lights. It's in the great name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Why don't we go ahead and stand together as we end today? Whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, would we choose joy? Would we choose to look to him, the author of our joy, the author of our peace? Sing this with me.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. You are my portion. You are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the light. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. Sing it again. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are.
Father, we're thankful today that in you we have joy, in you we have everlasting life and peace. Regardless of what the world brings, regardless of the situation, circumstances we find ourselves in, God, we can look to you and remember that you are in control, that you are our peace, our joy. So as we leave this place today, God, would you go before us? Give us strength. Give us strength. Fill us with hope and help us to look for joy. Guys, we're so thankful that you chose to worship with us today. As you go out, remember to look for ways to position yourselves for joy in the Lord. Don't focus on your circumstances, but focus on a great God who loves you and is for you and who has a great plan for your life. Our prayer team is going to be here this morning if you have any prayer needs that you want to pray with them about. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. You're dismissed.
The way, the truth, the light. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. Oh, I believe it's a new horizon, and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they could all come to, because they can't stay alone when I'm here with you.
Hey, Jerry, you can leave the board on.